Amen. Now, I don't know if you guys had this happen to you. I did. There was actually, I saw evidence of it with signs in our neighborhood. But did you have anybody in your sphere of influence that actually voted for Biden? Yeah. And that's a whole challenge in and of itself, with all due respect. But have you noticed the last 2 years, with the shocker, horrible Biden policies and the horrible rotten decisions, have you noticed that these same people are now acting like this? Watch this.
How is it?
Good.
It looks so, it looks like you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that looks like you're enjoying. Oh, hey, you okay?
I'm okay.
Okay.
No, you're not. You're faking it. It's on your face. We can see it, okay? And it's not just realizing, I can't believe. In fact, there's a term on the internet. It's called Biden remorse, okay? I'm not making that up, okay? But it isn't just that the people are having remorse that they voted for this guy. Now look what he's been doing the last 2 years, destroying everything he touches, on purpose, by the way. But it's also going along with the COVID pandemic. Okay. In fact, I don't know if you noticed this, but it's brought a new saying to light. There's so many people dropping dead because of those shots. It's brought this new saying. Wow, these flies are dropping like athletes. And that would be funny if it weren't so true. Okay. But speaking of relabeling, new sayings, fake smiles, you know, just to try to avoid the obvious that there's a deadly killer agenda unleashed on the planet. We saw before that they will relabel it, right? Oh, it's just a coincidence. Are you having a coincidence? Or they would say, oh, it's a new medical term. It's a sudden adult death syndrome. But yeah, adults are dying, and so are kids, by the way, and it's because of the shots. Relabeling doesn't take it away. But hey, if that doesn't work, I am not joking. Every single one of these is an actual headline. Okay? These are what the media and the Biden administration are telling us as the real reason that people are dropping like flies. And I quote, climate change. Climate change is causing all these heart attacks, right? New highly reactive chemical in Earth's atmosphere. Hotter nights is causing heart attacks. Humid weather is causing heart attack. Cold weather is causing heart attack. Shoveling snow could give you a heart attack. I'm not making up. Solar storms could give you a heart attack. Daylight savings may increase your chance of heart attack. What? Are you kidding? No, it's just stroke season. You know, it's just one of those seasons in life. It's just what any, quote, teenager can have a heart attack. Yeah, because that's real normal. Okay. Heart attacks are what? Striking fit and healthy young women. So ladies, go home, cancel your gym membership, and eat bonbons. If that's true. Are you kidding me? And I quote, lonely older women are at risk of having a heart attack. That's why, because they're just lonely and old and unfortunately missed out on life, whatever, blah, blah. Taller people. That's what's happening. That's why they're dying, because they're just tall. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, let's move on. It's just COVID itself. It's not the jab. It has nothing to do with that. Physical activity, right? Listen, happy heart syndrome. If you're happy, you're going to die. Are you kidding me? Pandemic stress, right? Energy bill prices. Now, that could give you a heart attack, but that's not what's really going on, right? And I'm not joking. Watch this. Flight delays is what's causing the heart attack. Being sarcastic. Uh-oh. I'm in trouble. Living under a flight path. Listen to this. Falling asleep with the TV on. Oh, excitement-induced heart attack from watching a movie. You better watch something boring. You better put on my sermons. That was a test, and you failed miserably. That wasn't funny. Anti-vax information. It could give you a heart attack. And then I kid you not, video games. That's right. That's killing the kids. That's right. A heart attack. Shower habits. I'm not joking. Heart rhythm. Gardeners are at increased risk of killer heart disease. Excuse me. Eggs. All right. No, maybe that one's true. I don't know. But anyway, no. I kid you not. Skipping breakfast is why people are having a heart attack. Are you kidding me? Come on, man. How many times have we got to be lied to? Right? And it gets even worse than that. If fake smiles, I'm okay. Right, relabeling, excuses don't work with you. I'm telling you folks, this has been in high gear, and we all know this recently. Endless distractions. Don't look at the obvious of what's killing all these people. There's a balloon in the sky, as this guy shares. Watch this.
There's no doubt that you've caught wind of this alleged China spy balloon hovering over Montana. Fox tells us that they're monitoring the situation extremely closely. Oh, thank God. Secretary Blinken's China trip has been postponed. Pundits are weighing in on every fake news outlet, demanding that this thing be shot down. So let's back up a minute here. Almost like a Where is Santa and his sleigh app, Fox is showing the track the supposed hot air spy balloon took to make its way to the mainland. Allegedly, it came from mainland China, over the Pacific Ocean, up into western Canada, and then down over Montana. How do they know this exactly? Where is Fox sourcing this information from? We're being told that commercial pilots witnessed this shiny object in the sky and reported it to air traffic control. So naturally, we have a few questions. First of all, why weren't U.S. or Canadian fighter jets scrambled to check this thing out? Nobody in Canada saw this thing in the sky and reported it? I mean, allegedly this thing has been traveling for some days now. The Pentagon tells us that they've been tracking it. So why weren't we made aware of this looming threat headed towards the United States of America? We're really just going to let some unidentified object float around over our country, specifically over nuclear weapons silos, weapons facilities, a sensitive area, as Fox reports? Come on. We're not buying it. This is 100% BS. We've talked about our fake government crime syndicate creating the empire of lies, and this fits right in. We need a distraction right now because the narrative is rapidly shifting. Millions of people are waking up, taking notice of a mass murder, depopulation, genocidal level kill-off happening at the hands of Pfizer. And so now there needs to be a distraction away from stories about this government-sponsored biowarfare being waged on innocent Americans. Yeah, we can't talk about the Project Veritas bombshell on-tape admission of gain-of-function research because there's a balloon in the sky. Come on, we can't have conversations about extreme accountability, Nuremberg II, citizen grand juries, executions. No, because there's a balloon in the sky over Montana. We can't address Governor Cuomo's organized, helpless geriatric killing spree where he sent grandma and grandpa to the modern-day ovens, a network of nursing home progressive death camps, because there's a balloon in the sky. We now know with absolute certainty that the CIA and EcoHealth Alliance had its hands on the lever of the deployment of the bioweapon at Wuhan, but we can't discuss that right now because we're tracking a balloon in the sky. Don't be distracted. Our own government is openly killing us, actively murdering our kids.
And as sick as that is, that's what's going on. They're doing these distractions on purpose. As we've been seeing in our study the last 2 weeks, it's all part and parcel because of this guy, Klaus Schwab, who, as we saw, I'm convinced the Bible is telling us what he's up to. He is doing what the Bible says is going to come to the planet one day. He's helping to build the Antichrist kingdom. As we saw, that's not a surprise when you do the research and look at his background. He grew up in Hitler's Germany. And his dad, as you can see there, Eugene, was buddies with Hitler. And the factory that he run, that Klaus was a part of, was a model Nazi factory that housed POWs and prisoner of war camp and things of that nature. And this is where Klaus got a lot of his horrific Holocaust ideas from, including the current one that is happening before our very eyes. But don't worry, he's just relabeled it, not, you know, Hitler 2.0 or the Fourth Reich. He calls it the Fourth Industrial Revolution or the Great Reset. But that's all it is, folks, in a nutshell. And we've been taking a look at proof of that. And the first proof that we saw was there really is a horrible Holocaust going on that's being done on purpose. And he's basically taking a page out of Hitler's book, and that was used on Germany and the Jewish people, and he's applying it to the world. And then if you hear last time, we saw why, the murderous motive. They literally, the elites in their audacity, consider us useless people. That's a term straight out of Hitler's playbook. Useless eaters. That's why these people need to be killed off, because they're of no use to us. It's the same exact thing. And we saw they're doing it for two reasons. Number one, for money, right? It's called being a hitman, murder for hire, right? And again, on the one hand, that shouldn't be a surprise. What's the Bible tell us? Well, 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is what? The root of all kinds of evil. So many people, politicians, you name it, working for Klaus and the gang, they have literally sold themselves out, their souls, dare I say, and also they're doing it because they're making not millions, but billions of dollars. And we saw the evidence, and we traced the trail. Big Pharma was going in the hole by billions of dollars. Now because of this, they're billions in the profit. Okay, they were a part of it. So was the media. The media was paid billions of dollars to promote this. churches were paid to promote this as well. Hospitals and doctors, which my term is the new medical mafia, were paid literally step by step to promote this agenda and deadly on purpose, not life-saving techniques, but techniques that will kill people. And you got even more money if you could, whether they died of it or not, put COVID on their death certificate and you get another payment on that. That's what is going on, sick as it is. But not only that, the other agenda was because they want to depopulate the planet. It sounds crazy, but folks, this is the evidence that we saw. In their own words, we saw this. Okay, in their own monuments that they recently blew up, the Georgia Guidestones, right? People like Bill Gates, who literally said, if we do a great job at the vaccines, we can annihilate a large... It's on tape! Who his dad worked for Planned Parenthood, by the way. I wonder where he gets his ideas from. He's working for Klaus Schwab and the gang. And we saw this is what's going on. And believe it or not, to put it in a nutshell, they believe they're doing the planet a favor. They want to, and this is their stated goal, they want to annihilate 90% of the population of the planet to create their version of utopia that they call, again, the Fourth Industrial Revolution or the Great Reset. It's sick, right? And it's not just sick, that's really what they're up to. And we saw the evidence, and I quote, and we left off with the World Economic Forum, and they stated, we had this on tape, quote, we want to reduce the population of the planet to what it was 500 years ago. And so you go and do the research, and I did, you're talking about around 500 million people, which was the number one of the new Ten Commandments on the Georgia Guidestones. Maintain population, what? 500 million. I wonder why they blew that up. Because too many people were catching on, right? It's not by chance, folks. It's sick. It's satanic. But I'm convinced this is exactly, and listen, the Bible is the only book on the planet that tells us where it's headed and who's behind it. It's satanic. It's evil. And it's headed to the worst time in the history of mankind. It's called the Antichrist Kingdom. You don't want to be there. Unfortunately, that's not all. Klaus, I'm telling you in a nutshell, guys, he's taken everything Hitler did. And because people don't learn their history, they're doomed to repeat it. We got people in universities today that don't even know who Hitler is. Maybe I'll show you on tape. I'm not joking. It's crazy. And so he's taking what Hitler did, and now he's taking it beyond Germany, now to the whole globe. And Hitler also did this, and Klaus is doing this, and that is this. They're controlling the food supply. And they're using the COVID pandemic as an excuse to get us to bow a knee and let them literally control everything about our food supply. And shocker, believe it or not, did you know that that's also what the Antichrist will do in the seven-year tribulation? It's almost like Klaus is working for him or something. Yeah, I think so, but don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God. So open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, this is the beginning of the seven-year tribulation. You got three judgments. It starts off with the seals. That's what we're going to see here. Then it goes into the trumpets, and then it goes into the final judgments, the bold judgments, and then comes the second coming, the return of Jesus Christ, and he puts a stop to all this rotten evil. But let's take a look as we go ahead and stand and read God's holy word, Revelation 6, 1 through 6, okay? And we're going to see where all this judgment is coming from. Very important. Revelation 6, 1 says this, and I watched as the who? The Lamb. So right out of the gates, who is the one responsible for bringing the judgments to the planet? Jesus Christ. And this is at the very beginning. So the judgments, the wrath of God being poured out on the planet because of this wickedness, because of the evil, God gave you a way of escape, but they didn't want to take it. So you reap what you sow. You had your way out, but now you're left behind. And here comes God's wrath. This is why it's so important. This is at the very beginning of the seven-year tribulation. The Bible says that as a born-again Christian, we are saved from, rescued from, not appointed unto God's wrath. So if I can demonstrate from the very beginning that God's wrath is being poured out, I can't be there. It's called the pre-trib position. We're out of here prior. That's what the Bible teaches, right? But the Lamb. And the other thing, too, is people who want to put the church in the seven-year tribulation say, oh, this is Satan's wrath. This is man's wrath. Are you kidding me? What's it say? The Lamb. God is the one responsible for dishing out these judgments. The Lamb is the one who opened the first of the seven seals. And then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. Well, when the Lamb opened the second seal, and I heard the second living creature say, come. And then another horse went out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given a power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay, okay, each other. Sfadzo, okay, literally means to butcher in the Greek. And to him was given not just a sword, but what's it say? Large sword, that's megas makarios. And that's just a huge mega. That's mega, right? Mega, like a mega drink, a mega this. Mega. It's huge, massive. What kind of sword? A sword. Makarios was a sword that was used for butchering animals. Not a good sign. And then the third one says this. And when the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say what? Come. And I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a day's wages, 3 quarts of barley for a day's wage, and do not damage the oil and the wine. You may be seated if you can. I wonder what they're up with, not damaging the oil and the wine, but controlling everything else. By the way, those people who work at that time, they're only fed a plant-based diet. Good thing we see no signs of the planet being told to go to a plant-based diet. It's all falling into place, man. It's crazy what's going on here. But as you can see, the seven-year tribulation starts off. Most prophecy teachers, myself included, would say that this is the rise of the Antichrist, the first seal. He comes in with a bow without arrows, so it's a peaceless coup, and he begins to take over the planet. Well, that doesn't last very long. Okay, they're probably rejoicing. Yeah, those nasty Christians are out of here, and we can finally do what we need to do. And they're withholding the harmony of the earth. That's what they say today. But it doesn't last long, because what happens? The second rider comes out, and global war. Literally, the planet begins to butcher one another. Right? And then, of course, after that, what's going to happen? It's going to create a famine, and a famine that's so bad. Right? What did it say there? That apparently, listen, the planet, because it's a global context, is going to be having some sort of, quote, global food distribution program, right? Because it said there, on a global context, here's what's going to happen during that global famine. Every person is going to work in the seven-year tribulation, and here's what you get. You work a whole day, you can get a quart of wheat for yourself, or you can opt out for that for 3 quarts of barley, basically animal food, for you and 2 other people. That's it, okay? And in other words, you have to work for them to stay alive. The modern term is this: you'll own nothing, but you'll be happy because we'll feed you in this wonderful utopia. Want to be fantastic. But here's the point. Good thing we don't see any signs of people, grabbing control of the food supply around the whole planet, and just the hands of a couple people so they can hand it over to the Antichrist so he can fulfill this passage here and start dishing out the food on a global basis. I better slow down because I'm getting sarcastic and I'm going to have a heart attack. Are you kidding me? Folks, this is exactly what's going on. Listen, Klaus Schwab and the gang, right? They're using the lie of climate change, which I'll demonstrate in a second, and the COVID pandemic that they created as an excuse to take over the food supply. Here he is on tape. Listen, this is just 3 months ago, at an event that you and I will never get invited to, even though it affects all of us. And that event is called this, watch this, the World Government Summit. Well, that should tell you something, right? That's a conspiracy theory. You got that from wackyguy.com. No, they meet every year on this stuff. It's on tape. And here he is on tape admitting that because of the COVID pandemic they created, they need to take over all aspects of our food supply to help save the planet and for our good. Watch this in his extremely thick German accent.
History is truly at a turning point. We do not yet know the full extent and the systemic and structural changes which will happen. However, we do know that global energy systems, food systems, and supply chains will be deeply affected. In times of crisis, the role of governments is more important and more relevant than ever. What is also needed is a summit like this one to go beyond crisis management and to look into constructive ways we can build our common future.
So, because of the COVID pandemic that you created, we now have to let them control all the energy, all the food, the supply chain, you name it. Or, we can't go back to normal. We've learned our lesson. We've got to let these elites grab control of the food supply. And you think, well, where'd this guy get this from? Can anybody say it rhymes with Hitler? You know why? Because that's what Hitler did. I'm telling you, folks, in a nutshell, this guy, all he's done, because he grew up in that environment, he's taken what Hitler did to Germany and he's applying it to the globe. Did you know that Hitler took over the food supply of the Germans? He did. In fact, here's the actual place. I got it on picture. This is called the Reich Food and Agriculture. Okay. They, and as a side note, they also had the Reich Forestry Office. He controlled everything. right? That's part of the aspect. They controlled the forestry, the hunting, the timber management, nature conservation. Today we just call it the EPA. But here it is, the Reich Food and Agriculture. They also call it the Reich Food Estate. And here's what Hitler, when he instituted that for the good of the people, here's what it did, right? And this is in historical evidence, right? This, the Reich Food Estate strictly regulated what farmers could produce and fixed the prices in Germany and of what the farmers produce. Good thing that's never going to happen here. That's going to go on for quite some time. They also controlled imports, and that's been going on for quite some time. They used forced labor from concentration camps to work on the farms. Well, today they're called 15-minute cities, and you'll own nothing and be happy. And Lord willing, we'll get to that in another study. That's their plan. They built huge industrial complexes. Individual farmers just couldn't keep up. Big corporations begin to do it. We don't see any signs of that. Yeah, we'll see that in just a minute. They barred certain categories of people from work, like the Jews. Today we just call them the unvaxxed. Cartel-like marketing boards fixed prices in Germany. They regulated supplies, oversaw almost every facet in directing agricultural production on farmlands, including what seeds and fertilizers were to be applied on farmlands. That's exactly what's going on today. In fact, they're being told you shouldn't even plant in your own backyard. Many farmers left the land due to poverty in spite of what? In spite of promised subsidies and so-called guaranteed prices and tax cuts. That's been going on both sides of the aisle, whatever the administration. We're going to here to save the farmers. But every year, farmers go bankrupt. They go out of existence. They can't do it anymore. They have to sell off their land. Even though every year they say, oh, we're going to take care of you. They don't. Right? Or they get bought out. Right? Small businesses suffered a lot, had to close. Rules on opening, running small businesses were tightened, and they could not compete with the monopolies and cartels formed by big business. Watch this. Corporations make big money. Today we call them Amazon and Walmart. This has been going on for quite some time. It's called brick and mortar because these massive corporations controlling food and retail, everything else, they can't keep up. So the brick and mortar goes out of existence. But over the COVID pandemic, what was an obvious side effect? Small businesses in mass went belly up. That's called competition. And who was allowed to continue to run? The big corporations who work for Klaus and the gang. Where do you get that idea from? It's what Hitler did, right? And Germany began to experience critical shortages of food and consumer goods, and Germans were even subjected to rationing of many major consumer goods, including produce and butter and other consumables. Just the basics, you know, like the eggs that are going through the roof and all that stuff, which don't get me started on that one. Overall, agricultural prices went through the roof and people began to strike over high food prices. Good thing we don't see any signs of that. It was a setup. And that's what's happening today. You see, we're being told that the reason why the food is going through the roof is because of inflation. No. I'm going to give you four reasons why here in a second that is not the case. They're doing it on purpose for other motives, okay? But this is what they did. And I'm telling you, Hitler, he controlled the food supply. He controlled everything else, too. That's for other studies, Lord willing. But he controlled the food supply, and he used it to control the people, right? And that's what's going on to this day. Klaus is taking a straight out of Hitler's playbook. This is why he's using a crisis. Hitler rose to power in a time of crisis with Germany. That's how the people got snookered. I don't care who it is. Anybody that can promise us a wonderful year, oh, we'll do it. That's how they got duped. Klaus is doing the same thing with the planned crisis called the COVID pandemic. And part of that is to do what Hitler did, take over the food. Okay? Now, if you don't believe me, let me share with you this clip from the World Economic Forum. And what they're doing, they're not waiting for you to become altruistic and be brainwashed by, you know, they're here to help us. Klaus is here to help us, you know. Right? And that's why we got to let them take over the energy and the food supply and the supply chains. But they're there to scare you into it as well. And of course, now what they're pitching is if we don't let them take over the food supply, the planet's going to blow up. Haven't you heard about it? Hold on. I'm going to have a heart attack. I'm getting too excited. And it's combined with sarcasm. Double no-no. I hope I'm not under a flight path or it's humid. Nuts what these people do. So they're saying the planet's going to blow up. You've heard of climate change. Here is the World Economic Forum saying that this is why we need to let these global elites take over all of our food because the planet's going to blow up. Right? Watch this. Thank you. Economic Forum, Klaus's global think tank that he's been using as a tool to further his agenda for 50 years. They started in 1971. And what it just so happens they're saying, in order to keep the planet from blowing up, will you switch to a what? Base diet. Never heard that before. Oh, you get to work for them. You'll own nothing, be happy. And you know what we're going to give you? A plant-based diet. Wheat or barley. Notice there's no meat there. Oh, we'll throw on some cricket powder too. A little seasoning. Wait till we get to that. Lord willing. But pass the veggies, save the planet, right? That's the agenda. And again, we might have a whole nother study, Lord willing, if we're still alive and still here, on this lie. But let me dispel very quickly, very easily, the lie of climate change. Because that's the fear factor. We've got to do this. We've got to give up our national sovereignty. We've got to give these people control. Don't you understand? We've got to work together as a planet and bow a knee before Klaus and the gang. Let them control everything, including the food, because the planet's going to, this climate change. And we saw before, hello, it's stupid, number one. It used to be called global warming, but they changed it because we could demonstrate it wasn't warming. But then they ain't going to go the other end. They figured this one out. Well, we can't call it global cooling because we could demonstrate that too. So they switched to something completely innocuous, climate change. Well, duh, it changes every day. But see, you can't catch them on that. But the whole thing is a lie. If you don't believe me, very quickly, and then we'll move on. Very quickly, this is a recent video from the founder of the Weather Channel. And of all places, he's on CNN and he's sticking it to him. Wait till you see what he does to this CNN guy, right? But he tells him in no uncertain terms, this is a big, fat lie. In his words, it's a bunch of baloney. Watch this. This is incredible.
First, let me bring in John Coleman. He's in San Diego this morning. Thank you for being here.
It's nice to be on CNN. Hello to all your viewers. I resent you calling me a denier. That is a word meant to put me down. I'm a skeptic about climate change. And I want to make it darn clear, Mr. Kenney's not a scientist. I am. He's the CEO of the Weather Channel now. I was the founder of the Weather Channel, not the co-founder.
And I'm glad you did, because I am addicted to the Weather Channel. I watch a lot of cable news.
I'm talking now. Hold on just a minute. I'm not done. And CNN has taken a very strong position on global warming that it is a consensus. Well, there is no consensus in science. Science isn't a vote. Science is about facts. And if you get down to the hard, cold facts, there's no question about it. Climate change is not happening. There is no significant man-made global warming now. There hasn't been any in the past, and there's no reason to expect any in the future. There's a whole lot of baloney. And yes, it has become a big political point of the Democratic Party and part of their platform. And I regret it's become political instead of scientific. But the science is on my side.
When you see the government, when you see NASA, when you see other institutions say that 97% of climate scientists agree, do you think they're making it up? What I don't understand is how you square that.
Well, that's a manipulated figure, and let me explain it to you. The government puts out about $2.5 billion directly for climate research every year. It only gives that money to scientists who will produce scientific results that support the global warming hypothesis of the Democrat Party, a position. So they don't have any choice. If you're going to get the money, you got to support their position. Therefore, 97% of the scientific reports published support global warming. Why? Because those are the ones the government pays for, and that's where the money is. It's real simple. But that doesn't mean it's right. That doesn't make it true. That only makes it bought and paid for. The money goes in circles.
I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to try to refute
you
on
the facts.
That's the
truth.
I'll simply say that
the vast
majority...
stand back from this issue and let the two sides be on the air. There are 31,000 scientists who have signed a petition that says it is not valid, that my position is correct. None of this alarmism about ice and heat waves and droughts, none of it is happening. But I'm happy that I got on the air and got a chance to talk to your viewers. Hello, everybody. There is no global warming.
And next week we'll be handing out I Love John Coleman t-shirts to spread the word. Wasn't that awesome? But it's the truth, folks. It's another one of their media propaganda lies. right? And dare I say, I'm just going to be fair so you don't think I'm being slighted. Not only Democrats, obviously that is a big part of their agenda, but you see Republicans supporting this baloney as well. Yeah. Let me give you a little teaser just to be fair with you. Kevin McCarthy, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but just to balance it out. Kevin McCarthy, 15 times? They had to vote for him 15. That's never happened before in the history of the American Congress. 15. Why did it take 15? Why were they so adamant? You'd think he'd give up after a while. But 15? Why? Because do the research. Look him up. Go to the World Economic Forum's website and guess who works with them? Kevin McCarthy. Both sides of the aisle in on this, folks. So don't get involved. Don't think it's one side. It's both of them. We're being lied to. They have sold us out. Okay, and they're working for Schwab. But I don't know, maybe it's just me, but the founder of the Weather Channel and 31,000 other scientists. Gotta be careful, I don't want to have a heart attack. These scientists are saying this is a bunch of baloney. Maybe it's a bunch of baloney? It is, folks. But see, they got to come up with a fear factor. Listen, not just any fear, but a global fear. This isn't just New Jersey's going to blow up. Some people might like that, but no offense. It's the whole planet's going to blow up. And so therefore, we've got to take control of the whole planet. Do you get it? They need a global fear factor to get people to go along and submit and bow a knee to their global fear control. And again, that control involves our food supply. And I want to share that with you in four different ways. Klaus Schwab and the gang, they're taking over the food supply with the fear factor of climate change and the COVID pandemic that they started. I believe it's getting ready for the Antichrist in the seven-year tribulation, because we saw that, Revelation 6. That's what's going to happen. There's going to be a global food distribution, right? And it's with food production takeovers. And this has been going on for quite some time. And this is happening all over the world, including the United States. And basically, big money corporations who also work for Klaus and the gang are slowly, and have been for decades, corralling all of our food supply in the hands of just a few people. You know, you just see here, it's just Pepsi. They sell Pepsi. No, they don't. They control. But see, Pepsi is controlled by somebody else, and it just keeps getting smaller and smaller the more that you go out. They literally control the food supply. And I want to give you one easy example of this in action called corporate takeovers. And this is one huge global entity that controls a major part of our food supply, including the meat supply. And that is an entity called Cargill, right? Watch this.
They've been called the worst company in the world. They once had an intelligence operation bigger than the CIA. And they have near complete control over how and what you eat. Cargill Incorporated is the biggest privately owned company in America by a huge margin. They bring in more money than the third, fourth, and fifth largest companies combined. Pretty much any food you buy, they make a little bit of money off of. This is a result of over a century of consolidation, absorbing, buying up, and merging with other companies to try to control a chunk of every aspect of the food economy.
Cargill's All Burger brand salads,
plant proteins,
asphalt rejuvenator,
super chicken, I do up your dinmo so get hang,
partially hydrogenated products,
a very, very special treat.
Their power and breadth have kept wages down, squashed worker power, and pushed family farms to the brink of non-existence, while manipulating prices for the consumer. That's you. And that ubiquity is about to get even worse. Cargill has plans to absorb a chicken empire. It's all made one family very, very rich. The Cargill McMillans own 88% of the company. 14 of them are billionaires. Novelist Frank Norris wrote in his The Epic of the Wheat, "Think of it, the food of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people just at the mercy of a few men down there at the Board of Trade. They make the price. They say just how much the peasant shall pay for his loaf of bread. If he can't pay the price, he simply starves." In the following decades, they bought more and more companies, from other agriculture businesses to seemingly random endeavors like Las Vegas casinos and Tokyo Love hotels. Significantly, they've also taken over much of the meat industry. There are four big meat companies: Tyson, JBS, National Beef, and Cargill, which collectively control 85% of the world's meat. They decide the prices, they decide the supply, they decide what we eat and how much we pay for it. All of that consolidation has made a massive corporation that's still privately owned, 88% by the Cargill McMillan family, and doesn't have to report anything to the public. And they're only getting more powerful.
Meaning they just keep buying up all the competition, all the small guys, and getting bigger and bigger. And what's that? It's called controlling the food supply. And that's just one entity. See, we're being told, amongst other lies, again, the food prices, hey, it's just inflation. No, it's not. Part of it is these corporations. And what did it say there? They decide the prices. They fix the prices. Oh, and by the way, if you can't pay, too bad, you'll starve. This is what's going on. Now, if you think it's not for purposes of control, watch this. Right now, most people don't realize this, the world's food supply is in the hands of three entities. Cargill with a combination of Monsanto, which you just saw there, ConAgra, and another combination, Novartis ADM. ADM stands for Archer Daniels Midland. But between all that, they basically control the world's food supply. I'm convinced it may shrink even further, or at the right time, the Antichrist will hijack that whole system, and there, here comes your global food distribution. But we're seeing this consolidation happen before our very eyes. And if you don't think it's for purposes of control, watch this. This is a direct quote from Duane Andreas. It's still in print, by the way. And he was a former chairman of Archer Daniels Midland. And here's what he admitted. Quote, the food business is far and away the most important business in the world. Everything else is a luxury. Food is what you need to sustain everyday life. Food is fuel. You can't run a tractor without fuel, and you can't run a human being without it either. Food is the absolute beginning, and I quote, those who control the global food system have the ultimate in economic power. Just like Hitler did to Germany, those who control the food supply control the people. And now extrapolate that to the world. So if you control the food supply around the world, you control the people. Do you see what's going on? It's a page straight out of Hitler's playbook. This is what Klaus and the gang are up to. Okay, now, speaking of Klaus and the gang, his super duper thick German accent, his ties with Hitler, wait till you hear who just recently bought up Monsanto. Because they're getting bad press. Because they're producing deadly food products, GMOs, which, Lord willing, be the next study. They're using the food supply to kill us. Shocker. But wait to hear who bought them out, because they're getting too much bad press and people were catching on. It's another German company who's still in existence today, who was used by Hitler to help kill the Jewish people. I am not joking. This stuff writes itself, man. Watch this. This is nuts.
Talk about Bayer.
Well, Bayer, everyone thinks they began starting with aspirin. They began for Hitler's Germany, making Zylon B, the gas that was used to kill millions in the concentration camps. They were part of IG Farben. IG Farben was the cartel that was tried at Nuremberg. One of Bayer's inventions is heroin.
Heroin.
Heroin. And it was called heroin because it made you feel like a hero. Nothing. One future program you could do, Amy, is how the devastation of our societies, how the destruction of the economy of Mexico has created the drug trade, how the devastation of rural America, as well as the unemployment in the industrial belt, has created the opiate crisis, how Punjab, the land of the Green Revolution, 75% youth are now drug addicts. So Bayer bought out Monsanto. So Monsanto today is Bayer. And it's a German company. But these are global companies. They have no home. They have no loyalty. They are accountable to no citizens. All of them work through tax havens. So Monsanto was bought out by Bayer for the simple reason that they wanted to erase the name of Monsanto, which has become such a dirty name.
Because the products they're producing are killing people. And, you know, people are starting to wake up. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to relabel it. We'll just buy them out. The same German company who was used by Hitler to gas the Jews, who also created heroin. By the way, Hitler gave drugs to his soldiers to make them into super soldiers, especially towards the end of the war. He was willing to do anything. And by the way, oftentimes they didn't know. He just put it in their food supply. But the same German company is buying out this other company that's a part of the companies in the hands of small people controlling the food supply. But they wouldn't use the food supply to kill us like they did with, Lord willing, that's the next study. But that's just the first one. The second one is they're doing food production limitations. And this is the big activity. See, because, you know, not everybody's going to say, I'm not going to sell my farm to you, you big, big corporation. I'm not going to let you buy me out, right? Go take a hike. Well, don't you want to save the planet? And this is the big news that's going over in Europe. The lie of climate change is being used to, listen, right now, not only limit farmers from producing on their land, but as an excuse to steal their land. And they won't let anybody farm on it. Right? This is what's happening over in Europe. Okay, watch this.
This is the Netherlands on the world map. It's a small country with a population of just 17 million people, and more than half of the nation's land is used for agriculture. Dutch farmers are also the world's second biggest exporters by value after the United States. Through the usage of the latest technology and other innovations, farmers have made sure that the nation holds on to its tag of tiny country that feeds the world. Now, you'd imagine that such a robust system would be in sync with the government's plans, right? But not quite. Instead, the Dutch government is rolling up its sleeves to forcefully shut down up to 3,000 farms to comply with the European Union rules. And this is not going down well with the farmer community. Last year, the government unveiled a 25 billion euro plan to drastically reduce the number of livestock in the country by 30%. The Dutch government clarified that the cuts on ammonia, nitrogen oxides, and nitrous oxide are needed to protect more than 150 nature reserves. And the farmers didn't take this too kindly. They have been protesting for the past few years, saying that such a radical cut would be catastrophic for their industry. In October, thousands of tractors jammed up traffic by up to 700 miles during rush hour in protest. The Dutch farmers believe that they are being singled out to meet these pollution targets. And to double down on this dissent by the agriculture sector, the Dutch government has decided to buy out these so-called peak polluters in line with their 2030 climate change targets. According to The Guardian, the farmers will be offered a final set of choices: innovate to drastically reduce emissions, transition to a new kind of business, extend in ways that reduce their impact, relocate, or voluntarily stop. It has threatened that if farmers don't bring down the pollution level, it will engage in a rather hostile buyout of their lands, whether they want to sell or not. The government says that this is the go-to sector if they have to bring down the levels.
Ooh, was it just me? Oh, careful, can't be too sarcastic. Concerned about my health. What was the background that their prime minister was speaking at? World Eco. Anybody start to see a pattern here? Working for Klaus. And working for Klaus, they said that their stated agenda is what? 2030, which is Klaus's goal to have this planet reset in his new utopia. He calls it the Great Reset or the Fourth Industrial Revolution. It really is the Fourth Reich. That's their date, so that's not by chance. And then what do you do? They're using the lie of climate change that we saw was a lie to justify what? If you don't voluntarily stop farming, and why would you do that unless you're trying to deliberately do that and control people's food access, not just the prices? But then if you don't do that, we'll, of course, buy it out from you or basically give you a pittance whether you wanted it or not. But what's the lie they're using to supposedly justify basically taking over? Because, you know, again, people are going to resist. They're resisting. By the way, it's not going very well. What? Because, again, it's part of their plan. This is their plan. By 2030, they want to control. It's called the Sustainable Development Goals, Agenda 2030. And they tell us 17 things they want to take over by that time. And it's everything, folks, not just the food supply. But food supply is part of it. Right? None of this is by chance. It's all carefully scripted. So if you don't voluntarily sell out to the big corporations so they control it, they're going to use the lie of climate change to take it over, okay? But good thing they're not doing that here in the U.S. Okay, no, my pulse is good. Okay, that's sarcasm, I tell you. I better not exercise today. I better go home and eat some bonbons to get my health back up. I'm getting concerned. Isn't it a joke? I mean, we're joking about it, but this is actually what they're... Watch this. Land grabs. They're doing the same thing here in the U.S., okay? They are basically grabbing up the land, just like Europe. And again, they're not, well, they're going to produce farms, and they're going to make money. Nobody's doing nothing with this land. It's to limit to the food production for purposes of control. And shocker, you got Bill Gates, who works with Klaus Schwab and the gang, who is now the largest farmland owner in all of the United States. Watch this.
Bill Gates has been snatching up 242,000 acres of farmland across the U.S., enough to make him the top private farmland owner in America. According to the Land Report, the tech billionaire has been purchasing agricultural land for years, building a massive portfolio of farmland in 18 states. His largest holdings are more than 69,000 acres in Louisiana, almost 48,000 acres in Arkansas, and about 20,500 acres in Nebraska. Additionally, he has a stake in 25,750 acres of traditional land in Phoenix, Arizona. It's not clear how Gates' farmland is being used or whether any of the land is being set aside for conservation.
Oh, did you see that in the background? The little circle with the different colors? Does that look familiar? That's Agenda 2030. That's the 17 sustainable... Anybody start seeing a pattern here? They all work together, folks. But Bill Gates buying up the farmland? Well, he's going to raise cows. No. Nobody gets to do nothing on his land. It's for purposes of control. Do you trust that guy? I don't trust that guy, right? Everything he does for money, okay? As we saw last week, you know, hey, I remember when this guy used to create viruses in Windows and then sell the antivirus. I wonder what he's doing now. Well, here's what he's doing now. Let's infect computers with viruses and then sell the antivirus software. How about today? Let's infect people with viruses and then sell the vaccines. He stands to make untold amounts of money, and I'm getting ahead of myself, because another money-making adventure that he's involved in is they have not given up the vaccine passports. And Bill Gates is all in on that. ID 2020 and all that stuff. We'll probably, if we're still alive, still here, get into that. But why is he supporting that? Because guess whose software will be used to run all the vaccine passports and the biometric microchipping of the planet? Bill Gates. You know how much money he's going to make off of that? That's why he's supporting it. Everything he does is for money, including buying up the farmland, okay? He is buying up the farmland, which is not just plants, but also for livestock, right? So it will decrease the cow supply, the livestock supply. And wonder of wonders, he just happens to be investing at the same time fake meat, which Lord willing, we'll get into next time. It's not good for you. Studies are now coming out that this fake meat, this beyond meat, all this meat, it's causing cancer, amongst other issues. But he don't care. Because basically you destroy your competition, come up with the new one, he's going to make money. And it's not just a fake meat scam, right? I like this one. I'll end world hunger. Yeah, sure you will, by killing all the hungry people. One way or another, shots, vaccine, controlling the food supply. Okay, but listen to this. Shades of the Antichrist. It just so happens there's another purpose why Bill Gates is buying up this farmland. Of all places he's buying up this farmland, it just so happens that underneath that land, is water. So he can control the water, and then he can come out with a new solution, which is called Bill Gates doo-doo water. I wish I was making that one up. Watch this. This is nuts.
Also in the news for, you had something to do with this invention, the Omni...
Processor.
Omni processor.
We challenged engineers to make something that could take sewage and very inexpensively get rid of sewage.
One is bottled water, one is sewage water, but we're gonna drink, and then we're going to see, and you're going to reveal which one is which.
You bet.
You just drank yours. Cheers. I'm pretty confident this was the bottled water.
Well, that was rigged. It was all poop water.
Hey, guys, let's go out to lunch in the 7-year tribulation. What are you going to have? I'm going to have Bill Gates' fake meat cancer-causing burger and wash it down with some duty water. You know what? It just so happens that not only the Antichrist is going to control the food supply in the seven-year tribulation, do you know what's going to be another big need, dare I say, another big leverage point in the seven-year tribulation? Whoever controls the fresh water supply. Because in the next judgment coming from God, okay, there's an accurate picture, huh? The next judgment from God is the water. Watch this, Revelation. Now in the trumpet judgments after the seals, 6, 8 through 11. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea turned into blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Watch this. A third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky on the what? On a third of the rivers and on the springs of water, and the name of the star is Wormwood. And a third of the waters turned bitter, and what? Many people died from the waters that had become bitter. So God's not only going to judge the salt water in the seven-year tribulation, he's going to judge the fresh water. And so, boy, at that time, whoever has their hands on some remaining fresh water are going to make a lot of money. And you could use that for leverage, for control. And Bill Gates is doing that too, just in time for the Antichrist. But let me give you one more, because again, we're told that, you know, it's just inflation, that's all. No, listen, we're also seeing food production destructions. These global mega millennials, folks, they're buying up, they're stealing the land, fear factor, control purposes. But they're also taking our food production and they're purposely culling it. And that also is jacking up the prices, but it also puts us in a vulnerable position to where at some point it's going to get so bad, we're going to have to say, could you please feed me? Let me give you some quick, easy examples. Watch this. Ireland would need to cull up, watch this, 1.3 million cattle to reach what? Climate targets? Well, that's a lie. You're going to purposely murder, kill, and don't distribute it to the butcher, the food stores, the grocery stores. You're just going to kill off 1.3 million because that's a lie. Save the planet. You got to save the planet. You got to kill them all. No, it's not. It's to limit our food supply for purposes of control and excuse to jack up the prices. Has anybody noticed that beef has gone through the roof? Oh, it's just inflation. No, it's not. They're purposely destroying it, including not just in Ireland, here in America. And I quote, just got a letter from the FDA. I can no longer take my Black Angus to the slaughterhouse. They are going to pay me $2,300 per head to destroy them. Quote, this is unreal. Killing off our food supply on purpose. First service, the guy came up to me afterwards. He was in New Mexico. They said they're even doing this. Oh, by the way, if you don't kill them off, they're going to kill them, is the other half of that. That's what's going on. But he said in New Mexico right now, they're even doing this. They are using planes to kill off feral cattle. You know, because sometimes cattle get out, you know, the pens, and they don't always round them up, but there's feral cattle, right? Just like there's feral wild horses that we have, even here around here in Nevada, right? They're even killing the feral cattle. I mean, just in case you should, you know, stumble across one when you're starving. Why would you, what? They're doing this on purpose. And again, it's not just the ranchers, it's the food production plants. And I quote, oh, I got to share this. This is good. This is good. Listen to what this guy says. Some of you are going to keep trusting the government until your pronouns are was and were. Because this is what's going on, folks. They are on purpose destroying our food supply. You know, oh, they would never do that. Well, you're going to become a was and were. You keep that up. Because this is exactly what's going on. And again, back to the plants. 96 food plants in America have been damaged or destroyed under the Biden regime. They're not, quote, predicting food shortages. They're planting them, i.e. they're creating them on purpose. And the two major food producers, America, number one, Europe, as we saw, Holland was second only to the U.S. Do you think it's by chance they're starting there, stealing their lands? No. But watch just how many plants are purposely being destroyed. It has nothing to do with inflation. They're creating this crisis. Watch this.
This is an updated map of every single food manufacturing plant that has been destroyed by fire or electrical problem or some kind of, you know, massively destructed building collapse or something weird. But either way, I want to show you, I'm going to take the cursor on here. Look at this. Look at this. Look at the United States of America and then look at over here. Well, isn't that weird, folks, that the map shows primarily the United States of America having a food manufacturing crisis, but also the UK. The UK and the United States of America work close hand in hand. They basically run the EU and NATO and the UN. But notice that these food manufacturing plants are really not happening around the world. It's really right here. But look at this, folks. Look at this. You can't tell me that this is not strategic. You can't tell me that this is not organized. I mean, criminy, look at this. This is why we are so laser focused on this, because we see the forest for the trees. So do you. You see what's coming. Is this the Build Back Better plan? Is this the Broke Back Biden plan? Control the energy, control the food, control the world.
We've never heard that before. Well, that's what Hitler did with Germany in a time of crisis to control people. Here is the updated map. I'm sure it's just a coinkydink since Biden got in that that's happening. Build Back Better, you know where that came from. That was his campaign slogan. And again, I'm not just picking on that. It's both sides of the aisle, folks. But Build Back Better is straight from Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum. That's Klaus's slogan, to build the planet back better into the Great Reset. He told us who he was working for from the beginning. And they are deliberately destroying our food supply. And it isn't just jacking up the prices. And then, of course, blaming on inflation. It's for purposes of control. You're limiting the food supply to the point where then people will become dependent on you to dish it out. And the Bible tells us ultimately it'll lead out to a dishing out of a plant-based diet in the seven-year tribulation. We're watching it happen. And notice it's primarily the U.S. because we're the big food producer, and Europe, which is second. And they're being destroyed right and left. But not just purposes of controlling. That is an aspect of it. But these same entities are also manipulating our food supply. Because remember, what was their goal? They need to annihilate 90% of the planet to achieve their goal, their utopia, the Great Reset. You see, the shots can only get you so far. You might have to have a multiple-prong attack to limit people pretty fast. But they wouldn't use the food supply to kill us, would they? All I got to say is, if we're still alive, still here, don't miss the next message. That's right. I will try not to be sarcastic and have a heart attack between now and then. But that's what the study is all going to be about. These same entities are purposely doing things to our food that are purposely killing us. It's sick. But when you get bought up by German companies who used to work for Hitler, it shouldn't be a surprise. But in closing, the good news is this. What did Jesus say? When these things begin to take place, freak out, run to the hills and hide. No, he didn't say that. What? All that we're seeing, folks, is this. It's basically the foundation for the seven-year tribulation, that the Antichrist is going to run in the seven-year tribulation, control the planet. But the good news is the Bible says what? We leave prior, right? So all this is the information for you. That's why Jesus said, stand up, lift up your heads, woohoo, because your redemption draws near. We don't know the day nor the hour of the rapture, but God, out of love, I believe, has given us a sign, even of food control, okay? As a sign, it's got to be getting close, guys. So does the church stop freaking out and get back on track and live for Jesus? You know, like when you first got saved. Just love him. Share with him. Enjoy. Look forward to your future. Nobody can take it away. We're going to heaven, the millennial kingdom, the new heavens, new earth. There ain't going to be none of this stuff. All this evil and blowing is going to be gone. God's going to have the last word in all this. And we get the privilege of telling people, here's the one and only way out. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And then we're out of here. Which is the ultimate point if you're here and you're not saved. I don't know the heart. God does. You can fool me, but you can't fool him. But for some reason, you're here and you're still not saved. You still haven't asked Jesus to forgive you your sins. What are you waiting for? No matter what you've done, no matter how far you've gone, we sang it, his amazing grace. He's willing to forgive you. No matter how far you strayed, he's willing to forgive you. No matter how much you, like me, blasphemed him, mocked him, he's willing to forgive you. That's his amazing grace. Receive that today through Jesus. Don't be left behind. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something. Right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.